good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Whenever you are, welcome to Two Men with a Mic.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going, man?
Oh, it's going great, brother.
Yeah?
Well, except for this cold I got.
You got a cold?
Yeah, I've been fighting it all week. I think that the change in job locations being over there.
Yeah.
I'm not quite used to the weather. It's significantly, I mean, it's only like 90 miles away, you know, it's not that far, but it's, you know, in the bay, on the water versus over here in the valley. And I think the weather change and conditions and stuff, I got myself a cold. I've been fighting it pretty much most of the week.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all right. It's just, I'm sure it's because it's colder over there. I noticed it. The wind blows in the afternoon off the ocean and stuff, you know, so. It's just a little bit different. I'm sure I'll get acclimated to it.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, you're going to see some spectacular sights out there. I was thinking, like, first of all, you're going into the summer, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Beach summer and all that. But I was thinking too, like, when you're there in the winter, I bet you're going to see some dramatic oceans, you know?
Yeah.
In the winter.
Well, it's in the bay though, so I don't get to see that, you know, because it's protected because it's inside the bay.
Okay.
So.
You gonna sit on the dock of the bay?
Yeah. Except for right now, it's all closed off because of construction and stuff. Because they're I don't know, what'd you call it, like beautifying or. You know, doing a whole renovation of the island and building new apartment buildings, and it's going to have a whole center, and I mean, it's going to look fantastic over there. Right now, they're in the middle of doing all that construction, so right now it just looks like a construction site. But a couple years from now, the place is going to be hopping popular.
Yeah, well, has it been a popular spot anyway? You know, just because it's an island and stuff?
I don't think so, because it was a military base. So, you know how they do that. They take those old military bases and convert them into things.
Yeah.
And then they become the new fad. There's stuff there now that are like speakeasy type hidden and just it's kind of a vibe, right, that it's hidden away and run down and under construction. Kind of looks like, you know, you could probably film an apocalyptic movie there, you know what I mean, because there's a lot of old buildings that are abandoned now that are going to get torn down because they're rebuilding everything. So kind of looks like that, but then you'll find like a brewery, microbrewery hidden in there, you know, and stuff like that. So
that's cool.
It's kind of cool. Yeah.
Did?
Yeah.
Oh, it sounded like I lost you there.
No, I'm here.
You know, I've heard of something in like the Bay Area where there's like islands maybe, but and people like go, like they take boats and they like travel to the different islands, and like the different islands have bars and stuff on them. And so it's like bar hopping by boat.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know anything about that. There's not really a lot of islands that I know of over here.
Okay. I heard something along those lines. But anyway, I just wondered, yeah, if Treasure Island was like kind of part of that.
I don't know. I don't know enough about it. It's only been week one.
Did you get your map, though, to find the treasure?
I think they were doing something like that weekend. We went, Amber hadn't seen it yet. So her and Jen took me out to dinner for my birthday, even though it's not. Well, I guess this is coming out on my birthday. Hey.
No, it's not.
It isn't?
Wait, what's the date today?
Oh, hold on a second. Will my birthday be Tuesday today?
Hey guys, sorry for the interruption, but guess what today is? Tuesday Rants with, you guessed it, Amber. Welcome back to the studio, everyone.
Well, 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 welcome back, everyone, to another beautiful week here at the podcast, Two Men with a Mic. I am your host, Amber, and I hope you guys are all doing excellent this fine Tuesday, either morning, evening, afternoon, whatever time you are listening. And I just have to say, I was thinking about it, and you want to know what's so great is when you realize that if you lived your life over again, you'd still be younger than your dad. Because I'm 20, and if I lived another 20 years, I'd still be younger than my dad. Because today is my dad's birthday, and your guys' host, Mitch, and he is turning 56 today, or as I like to say, 65. Because it's so fun to flip numbers around. I guess maybe not if you're my dad, because he probably doesn't want to be 65 right now. But yeah, I just think that's so crazy. I'm way, way younger than him. And I mean, that makes sense, as it should be. I mean, I wouldn't want to be older than him, because then that would make him my kid, which would be weird. But yeah, I am so glad that I got to go home this last weekend to celebrate my dad's birthday. On Saturday, we got to go look at a bunch of different apartment listings, and I was the chauffeur slash realtor for the day because I booked most of the apartments and like homes that we looked at. And so that was pretty fun. And then I had also made dinner reservations at like a seafood restaurant because my dad really likes steak and lobster, so every year for his birthday, we try and go somewhere that has steak and lobster. And so we went to a place called Market Broiler, which was so good. I had never been there before, and I ended up getting a New York steak with cheese potatoes and bacon Brussels sprouts. And it was just all so good. And I like to get my meat well done because I don't like pink at all. It really grosses me out. And a lot of people are like, oh, that's like too tough. You're basically eating burnt meat, whatever. But let me tell you, I was cutting through and it was like butter. Okay, like it was the softest piece of well done meat I had ever had. It was so good. And the Brussels sprouts are good. Like it was just all good. We also got an appetizer, we got the roasted artichoke, and the bread was good. It was from San Francisco, from the sourdough company. It was just so good. So I'm so glad we got to eat there. And then I also ended up giving him my present this last weekend, since I won't see him today, his actual birthday. So I got him a chessboard, and I thought it'd be cool. Well, he already knows how to play chess, but I thought it'd be cool if he could kind of teach me and that we could play together. So we got to do that this last weekend, which was really fun. Chess is a very complicated game, I must tell you. I mean, like, the idea of it isn't complicated. It's just, like, complicated in the fact that you have to be thinking, like, five steps ahead in the future and also thinking what your opponent's thinking in order to block their play. And it was just like that complicated type. And then like also trying to remember what each of the different pieces do That part was crazy, but overall, it was, like, really fun. I actually now really like chess, so if any of you guys want to challenge me to a game, I am totally up for it. But, yeah, I had a lot of fun this weekend getting to be home. I hadn't been home since the quarter started, so I got to see Sugar as well and my other family members, so that was really great. But, Dad, I hope that you have a great birthday today and that all of your wishes come true. And, of course, I must sing to you to, you know, serenade you. So here we go. Happy birthday to you, cha-cha-chocolate. Happy birthday to you, cha-cha-chocolate. Happy birthday, dear Dad, cha-cha-chocolate. Happy birthday to you, cha-cha-chocolate, kumbaya, ha, Subway, eat fresh, red light, yellow light, green light, go, woo!
Yeah, hey, this episode's releasing on my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Brother Mitch. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. The future me says thank you.
All right. Yeah, actually, this is all happening in the future, huh?
Yeah.
Check us out, dude. We're total time travelers.
Yeah. Gnarly, dude.
Gnarly.
For that movie reference is for anybody from the 80s.
That was like a word that caught on when we were youngins. Everyone was looking around like, whoa, dude, gnarly. You know what's funny though? Like, so I was watching Alex Jones, and he was interviewing this guy, and this dude was like supposed to be like the son of this super powerful banker guy who started this like organization of bankers that has now become the organizations that basically all the billionaires get together and they're like, okay, what should we do this year to control the people and take all their money away and make them work for us like slaves and stuff. Well, why don't we have a war in the Ukraine? Okay, sounds good. You know, so it's like the leaders of the world like get together and plan. Our entire history has been made by the governments, and including what's happening right now. Like they manufacture these events and run us through them, and it's a way of controlling us, a way of controlling the population. In this case, I think it's anyway, we've talked a lot about that. But the point is, Alex Jones was interviewing this guy who comes from riches, right? And he's like super well educated, and he's only been like mingling with like the rich and all that stuff. And like I think it's Geneva in like Switzerland or something. So, you know, the guy is like a sophisticate, right? And the guy was basically reiterating what Alex Jones said, although he made some other claims that were kind of fascinating. Like, you've heard of Q, right?
No, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh. I was just going to say, well, anyway, he was... Okay, so that's... instead of going into all that... I'll just say though, like during the course of the interview, like this dude is, he's supposed to be Mr. Sophisticated, Mr. You know, educated, and he's like, well, yeah, you know, the deep state is getting taken out right now. Like the good guys in the intelligence community are taking him out, and dude, you wouldn't believe it. You know, I was like, what? Like, lean forward. Like, so yeah, here's this big, like, rich, powerful, sophisticated guy, but he was using the word dude. Like, all throughout the interview. Like Alex Jones would say, like he said, oh, you know, JFK is alive. And so is JFK Jr. And they're like fighting the deep state. And Alex Jones was like, you're claiming JFK is alive because he would be like 100 years old right now. And the guy's like, dude, listen to me. It was funny. He's like, dude, I'm serious. I'm like, okay. Anyway, gnarly and some of the other weird little, you know, buzzwords that popped up that were funny. Like it would pop up and everyone would walk around and say, oh, gnarly. And then in like 6 months or a year, like it would vanish. And like, if you said gnarly, then it was like, oh, we're not saying that anymore, man.
Yeah, that's old school.
But dude seems to have like stuck.
Yeah.
And, like everywhere around the world, including like international Swiss bankers, they're like, dude.
Dude, how much money you want?
Dude.
Okay, dude, here's what you got to do. I need your 401k.
Marley went by the wayside, but dude will live forever. I also am still limping along with a weird little cold that never seems to totally go away.
Yeah.
All right. So you had a big weekend, right? You went to go look for a new place to live for your new job on Treasure Island.
We need theme music for that. Like,
yeah. Some like pirate music for that.
Yeah. Yo ho, yo ho, the pirate's life for me. And of course, that'd be stealing and plagiarism.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That never stopped us before.
Yeah.
I remember when we used to record our adventures on cassette tapes, like the adventures of... I forgot. Did we ever figure out what your character's name was? Were you Mick Blade or something like
that? No, you were let's see, Mick Arrow or Stephen Blade and Mick Arrow.
Oh, you were Mick Arrow. And I forgot.
You were Stephen Blade or something.
I can't remember, but they were.
I know what it was. We were Blade and Arrow.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, yeah. I guess we were. Blade and Arrow.
Blade and Arrow.
And it was supposed to be like Super Spy, James Bond. Like,
Starsky and Hutch, Blade and Arrow.
Yeah, like audio adventures.
Yeah. The adventures of Blade and Arrow.
That's right. That's right. But what we did though, like, so they were like audio adventures that we recorded, but they were like Super Spy cop dudes and Blade and Arrow were. And but I remember I you know, I always loved James Bond movies, and so I used to like record them. This is like this shit, you know, this is showing our age, but I used to like record James Bond movies like on audio cassette, just like the good parts, like when action sequences or when stuff was blowing up or there are gun battles or whatever. So, and then that's what we used, remember, as the special effects.
Those were our sound effects.
Yeah, we took our sound effects from James Bond movies.
Well, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have computers.
Nope.
We didn't have the technology that everybody has now. Amber was talking to the lady about, can we have a rotary phone in the apartment? And the lady's like, well, I guess, but probably no one's going to call you on it. She goes, oh, you could just put one on your wall if you wanted to have a rotary phone. But, you know, people don't have landlines anymore.
Yeah. But you could have a rotary phone and I could call you with my iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you would just have a house number, but everybody has cell numbers. But if you didn't want to have a cell, you could still just have a house phone, and then people wouldn't be able to get a hold of you until you're at home answering the phone.
I think we were duped and we got tricked into these iPhones, and now they're killing us and controlling our minds and everything else. But also, I think we were better off when we had rotary phones and didn't everyone walked around and didn't have a phone on them. Don't you think? I mean, I guess we've talked about this and there's been a lot of talk about it, but yeah, these phones have absorbed us.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Then on the other hand, I will be able to say that it does allow you to keep in touch and reach out to people that otherwise you would not do. You know, you wouldn't be in touch with, right? Because there's some people, not, you know, good, bad, ugly, whatever, that I'm only in contact really because of this technology, you know?
That's true.
So it is, you know, it's got its ups and downs. I guess it's just a question of how much you want to live with the technology or live without it.
Well, right now, I feel like we've talked about this before, so I should just drop this as a subject. But the phones have absorbed us. And as everyone has noted, like, instead of socialization or social cohesion, you have people just staring into their phones.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Yeah. It used to be like if you, you know, say you're waiting for a bus at the bus stop, you know, you might chit chat with like someone next to you, but now it's people just staring into their phones.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah.
All the lonely people.
All the lonely people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least we know where they come from now.
They come from, where do they come from?
Technology.
Yeah, it's true. Well, yeah. And there's been a lot said on that too. Like my brother's children didn't go outside when they were growing up, really. I mean, they did, but mostly they just stayed in their bedrooms on their phones. And like, as opposed, like you and I, when we would get out of school, it'd be like, all right, let's go play. You know, even in high school, it was like, okay, we're out. Let's go. Let's go climb the mountain.
Yeah, it'd take 2 hours to walk home because it was only a 30-minute walk normally. Yeah. But we'd be distracted with things to do on the way home from school.
Yeah, right. There were like some fields and stuff. I remember running through the tall grass and all of that. But yeah, apparently, like my brother's kids' generation, nobody did that. But the other thing too is, it's like, oh, I would go hang out at your house after school.
Yeah.
But my brother said, like, his children, they didn't do that. They would just talk to each other, like, on FaceTime or, you know, screen to screen. Anyway, yeah, a lot of going outside and getting sunlight and fresh air, which is so vital, and a lot of, like, getting along with other people, being social or at least socially functional, just disappeared. And now it's like, yeah, never go outside, stare at your iPhone.
Yeah. Well, I will say though, that technology has helped, you know, in a few things in my life. So for one, it allows us to do this podcast, right? So we can thank it for that. So we're able, even though we're
activists out there who are like, see, this is the point. We've had too much technology. Look, there's a two men with a mic. We must destroy technology.
We got to stop them.
We got to stop them.
Oh, technology has ruined us all. This podcast exists solely because of technology.
And rambling, disorienting podcast, two old guys talking about the word gnarly.
Hey, Hey, well, another thing that technology has done for us is it, you know, allows you to stay in contact with, you know, old acquaintances. I mean, not, I wouldn't say like you and I are friends, right? We've been friends. We've known each other for 40 plus years and stuff like that. But then there's other people out there that, you know, you're friends with and you know, but, you know, maybe it's only because of work, like you met at work and stuff like that. And then you change jobs and that sort of thing. And then you would lose, you know, the old school way. You change, you know, you're going to lose contact with them because there's no way to find out about their family or what they're doing this weekend and, you know, any of that kind of stuff because we didn't have social media. So, you know, there are some cool advantages to that kind of thing. And one of them is I've stayed in contact with an old coworker that I worked with in like 2013 and stuff like that. And I've known her and her husband for, you know, 10 plus years and we've stayed in contact and on Facebook and that sort of thing. And actually her husband, Simon, is the gentleman that took my old position so that I could move on to bigger and better things. And when I was talking to Simon, we were talking about Shania, and come to find out, she's a spider farmer.
A spider farmer.
Yeah. So I was just like, what? What is a spider farmer? And I don't even know if that's the right term. I just made that up. She's, I guess, Spider Woman. But somehow she like collects spiders as pets and breeds them and all this crazy stuff. So I thought that was a very bizarre and very interesting thing. So, and I know it's against the show standards to have guests.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, but I couldn't pass up this opportunity. So
the spider lady.
Yeah. I mean, how many times do you get to talk to someone who breeds spiders or whatever she does? We're going to find out. So after the break here, we're going to bring on Shania, the spider lady.
The spider lady.
Hey there, Amber here. Are you in dire need of trying to reach Mitch and Mike? Or maybe just want to be a part of the show? Well, it's easy. You could log on to twomenwithamic.com. That's the number 2. And go to the About section, where you'll find all the ways to contact Mitch and Mike. You can email them at the number 2menwithamic@gmail.com. At the bottom of any episode on Spotify, you can hit the leave a message link or write a comment. Oh my.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are your spiders today?
They're good. They're all awake right now waiting to be fed.
What are you going to feed them?
Well, the babies right now, they're on fruit flies, flightless fruit flies. Uh-oh. And the other ones, they're usually mealworms, but they don't eat every day. The big ones, they're more of a once every couple weeks.
Well, before we get too deep into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to our podcast, Two Men with a Mic.
Thank you for having me.
So let me introduce you since this is my best friend, Mike, from high school, the one I got in trouble with. And Mike, this is Shania. She and I worked together for 6 years or so at one of the companies from the past. Oh. So I just want to introduce you two. And I've stayed in contact with Shania for many years. And her husband, Simon, was my mentor and is also a good friend who has been around for many years as well. So I was talking to Simon my last day or day before that, whatever it was, and he mentioned your fascination with spiders. So I just had a curiosity. I mean, where does a hobby like collecting spiders even come from?
Okay, so I always had arachnophobia. I could not even sleep in the same room if there was a spider in there. Simon had to kill it or burn the house down. My fear of spiders goes way back to when I was young. My dad used to torment me as well. But then, you know, TikTok came around and it's kind of changed my life a bit. And there was a TikToker creator, Tiana the Bug Lady, and she had jumping spiders, and they're the cutest little things, and they were adorable, and I just kind of fell in love with them. I mean, you know, you see jumping spiders compared to, say, you know, a wolf spider or huntsman spider, you know, big difference, you know. So it was a lot easier to accept.
Well, what's a jumping spider, first off? Is that like a Mexican jumping bean or something?
No, they're little fuzzy web puppies. So
okay.
Yeah, I mean they're just like out of a cartoon, Lucas the Spider. I mean, they got even video games now that are kind of around the jumping spiders, because I think it's a new fad right now. And it's huge. If you go on to TikTok or you Facebook, you can search jumping spiders, and there's hundreds of, you know, groups and pages and videos. Wow. It's insane.
Wow. So yeah. So you saw TikTok, you decided that the spiders were cute.
Yes.
That's kind of a okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So so then what happens? You like, hey, I'm going to be a spider farmer?
Well, what happened was Simon and I were in his truck, and a little jumping spider had hopped on me, and it, you know, all of a sudden it was like, don't kill it. Normally I would, or ask him to kill it, but this time it was like, yeah, don't kill it. Let me catch it. I took it home. I did little recordings of it. I thought it was a baby, but it turns out it was just a small Habernatus species of a jumping spider, which it was full grown female. And I had her for a very long time, and she kind of started it. I was making videos of her and posting it on my Facebook. And all of a sudden, you know, my friends and family started just getting really into it and wanting to know about my spider. But I wanted to go big. I wanted to go bigger. So I did. And Simon almost killed me, because my first spider that I purchased, because the jumping spiders that are on TikTok and all over are mainly the regals, and they're in Florida only. You know, they're kind of more of a tropical spider. And they're $55 for the spider itself. And then you got to pay for the shipping, which is a good $50 as well. Because
so how do you ship a spider and keep it alive?
It's a process. They have to be packed in a special box, a lot of padding. If it's cold, there's got to be a little heating pad in there. If it's hot, they put like a little ice bag in there to keep it cool. So it's pretty expensive to ship them. And the first one I got was, it was almost a year ago this year. And I had her for probably a couple of days, and she escaped.
Oh, well, just track down the web. It can't be that hard.
It's not like that. So I was devastated, and Simon, I knew, was going to kill me, because he didn't even like the idea that I just spent over $100 on a spider, and I never found her. And on Mother's Day, Simon started screaming that he found her, and that, you know, hurry up and get out of bed and come check and come grab her. Well, he didn't find her, but he had slapped a $100 bill onto the wall next to the enclosure I had her in. And told me I could buy another one.
That's funny.
Yeah, so
you just, I mean, Why don't you just go get like a daddy long legs?
No, it's not the same. It's not the same. Now, come on, Mitch, you have my Facebook. You can see my videos. There's such a big difference between, you know, any other spider and a jumping spider. The jumping spiders just have so much personality, and they're kind of like a cartoon. They got those big round eyes in front, and they're fuzzy and they're pretty. They got little hearts on their butt. And they're social.
Do they get it like tattooed on their butts, or
do
you get a heart on their butt?
Well, because they're markings. Like mine, Greta, who's the second one I got with the $100 bill that Simon gave me for Mother's Day. She's my favorite. She's very social. And she's just adorable. She's kind of the reason why I got the Greta name on my Facebook. Her name is Greta. And yeah.
So, I mean, you say they're social and they have a personality and stuff. Will they like fetch a ball or play tug of war?
I wish. But no, for a spider, I think, you know, just their little, I don't know, mannerisms that, you know, they like to wave. They call them uppies when they wave their little arms. And it's, you know, it's hard to explain unless you actually, you know, see a video, you know, follow some of the jumping spider groups, then you'll understand.
So have you started like selling? I mean, how do you mate a spider and sell it? I mean,
so I actually bought a pregnant spider from Florida. She was already what they call gravid, and she was kind of a dark phase line, which is very popular because it could turn almost like a solid white, and they're beautiful. And so I purchased her. She was a little bit more money because she was pregnant. And of course she laid, and I had about 100 little babies, and now I'm down to about 40. I've only sold one because they're still too young. But the person that wanted to buy one, she was okay with the risk of taking one when they were too little. And she updates me every day with videos.
So you have a granddaughter out there that you, so you,
yeah,
sold,
I do.
You sold off your granddaughter.
I'm so proud. I'm so proud. I adopted my first spider. So I have, you know, about 40 left, and, you know, we'll see how they go, because they don't all survive. They got to thrive, you know.
Do they like eat each other, if, you know, and beat up the little runts and survival of the fittest type thing?
They can, and they will if I don't feed them. So that's why I go through a lot of fruit flies, a lot.
So just out of curiosity, I mean, at what aisle at the grocery store do they sell fruit flies?
It would be the aisle in the PetSmart near the reptiles.
Really?
Yeah.
And are they like alive fruit flies? Or is it like a bag of beef jerky, but fruit flies?
they come in a little container, and they're flightless. And so, yeah, you just stick them in the refrigerator so they fall asleep, and then you sprinkle them in when they're, you know, when you're feeding the spiders.
What do you mean they're flightless? You like handcuffed their wings or something?
I think, you know, they're still kind of small. They haven't really developed their wings, because if you have them for a while, they'll end up flying. So they're like recently hatched. Yeah. So, and then I've learned how to make the little cultures so I can actually keep the colonies going. So, because it can get expensive, it's $10 for
a little
container.
I'm sorry. You did what to do what?
So when you buy the fruit flies, they have like a little culture in there that they feed off of, you know, that's kind of how to keep them alive. And so I've, you know, researched how to make that. So I have like recycled. So when a culture dies, then I make a new one, and I sprinkle a couple, you know, fruit flies in there, and then they start their own little colony. So it just keeps, you know.
So you're a spider farmer who grows their own corn for the spiders?
Yes. I have to. I mean, that's the only way. You're going to go broke trying to do this. I mean, you know, when you talk about how much I've spent already on the spiders themselves.
So you named, did your spider respond when you name them? I mean, you like, come here, spot.
I think so. Come here. I'd like to think so. I call her name and she looks at me with those little, you know, beautiful big eyes of hers.
Now, I saw a video with like her on your hand and stuff, uh-huh, on your finger, but she's a jumping spider. What happens if she jumps?
Yeah, you got to be careful. I mean, she has before. The one that I call Mama, that had the babies, she's wild caught, so she does not like to be held. And so when I've tried to hold her, you know, she'll take off. So I got to be careful. But now, Greta, she's, because I've raised her since she was a baby, she is not really prone to jumping. So I'm able to hold her, you know, and without the risk. But she has jumped, and, you know, they can injure themselves when they do so.
So, I mean, like, I don't know how spiders work, but you got a pregnant spider. How did they give it a pregnancy test? I mean, how do they know it's pregnant?
So it's pretty much a 50-50. So any wild caught adult female, you have to, you know, believe that they've already, you know, paired with a male. And so when I purchased her, it was a 50-50 chance. I told Simon, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to buy her with the chance that she may not, but my hope is that she is. And they will lay eggs until they die. However, she has not laid a second egg sac, and I'm just waiting for her to do so because I'm ready for the next batch of babies.
Well, maybe she doesn't appreciate you taking her babies.
It's possible. She might be holding off. I don't know. But.
So, you have a male spider and they mate, or?
No, they only mate once. And the spider holds the sperm until she dies. And so they'll just continue to lay eggs.
Man, can you imagine if we did that, how much easier things would be?
Yeah, but, you know, Greta's laid eggs too. They'll still lay eggs. It's kind of like a chicken, you know. It's just not fertilized. So,
hey, maybe you could start packaging those, you know, like they do escargot and stuff on the escar spider. Spider
eggs. I'd like some scrambled spider eggs and a side of bacon.
Yeah.
All right. So you said you were afraid of spiders. So was this kind of a thing to overcome that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because it's the same with so many people that are kind of following these groups, you know, on TikTok and on Facebook, is, you know, that their fear of spiders has, you know, changed since the whole jumping spider fad has come out, you know. And so now people, I'm reading how people are even actually saving black widows, you know. It's like they see a black widow, now they relocate them instead of smash them. And I don't know if I'm there yet. I just don't think I am, but, you know.
So can you still feel comfortable smashing, you know, stepping on a spider?
I have. I feel guilty, but I have done it. But, you know, it's kind of I'm still, I don't know, trying to transition into being a, you know, complete, you know, lover of spiders, but I'm not there yet.
So you're not into like tarantulas?
You know, that's a little too big for me. I'm kind of still, you know, I'm moving in that direction, and I've considered it. I've watched a lot of the spider mamas, the jumping spider mamas have, you know, their little pink toed tarantulas, and they're adorable. They're just a little too big for me yet. Baby steps is what. Yeah, baby steps.
Baby spider steps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you have like special, like, where do they live? In a fish tank without water or something?
No, they're in there. They have these enclosures, which I've gotten into the hobby of making them myself. you know, it's just like they're a little like reptile type enclosures, acrylic with vents, and they're people decorate them into like almost like little miniature dollhouses. And so that's kind of where I've been, you know, kind of leaning towards starting that little bit of a hobby, is making these enclosures and selling them to make a little money on the side.
Oh, so do they need water?
Of course, yeah. You gotta mist their enclosures, you know, find mist of water every day. So, but just, like, I have one. Yeah. Well, and it's funny because Mama Spider, as soon as I spritz her enclosure, she goes straight to the water and she drinks it up. But yeah, it's, you got to be careful because their lungs are, you know, on the bottom, and, you know, the smallest water drop, you know, they can drown. So you do got to be careful. And that's how a lot of babies, I've lost a little babies from, is because the water will, you know, accumulate and then they end up drowning.
Their lungs are on the bottom, on their chest?
Yeah, their book lungs. So if I'm
fighting a spider, I can get its lungs by sliding underneath it and stabbing it? I mean, easily. I'm just trying to prepare.
You could drown it. I mean, in a drop of water, it's not hard.
Huh.
Did you ever see that movie, Arachnophobia?
Yes. Yes. And that, I think that's actually what really intensified my fear of spiders when I was young. So that movie, yeah, it'll still creep me out today, but, you know, it is what it is. The jumping spiders is kind of my thing. I don't know.
So if somebody wants to contact you or like, I guess, buy a spider from you, I still don't quite understand that, because it seems like you could just walk outside and get a spider, but how is there any way they can do that?
Well, yeah,
we're in like 40 countries, so, you know, Putin, he doesn't admit it, but we know Putin listens.
Oh, he wants a spider.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants a spider.
Totally.
Well,
a spider, because he's our number one fan. And can we tell him that you'll give him a discount because he mentions our show?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I look actually there's an adoptions Facebook page, and so if somebody's looking for one in the, you know, the California area or NorCal, I'll reach out to them and let them know I have some, and that's how I actually found the person who just purchased the one from me. She's local. I'm not ready to do the shipping thing because that seems a little too much for me just now. I want to kind of see how I do with the local adoptions. And I'm not selling them for $50. You know, I sold it for $25. This is kind of my first start. You know, I can't, you know, I don't feel right, you know, charging too much. But I'll probably put them on Craigslist. Facebook won't let me put it on Marketplace. So
they won't let you sell spiders on Facebook?
They live animals, no.
Wow.
So I got to go to Craigslist. But, you know, there's bold spiders that are here in Northern California, which I have one, but they're not the same as the ones out of Florida. They're just a little bit larger. They're a little bit prettier. So I think that's why people are looking for the regals versus the bold spiders.
So you could, you know, I know what you could do is you could do it like they do the stars, where they can adopt a spider, and you can just, you know, put like a camera in your spider enclosure. And then for $50, someone could adopt a spider and be able to watch it full time without having to do anything.
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on something, Mitch.
Yeah. It'd be like the Truman Show of spiders.
How long do spiders live?
That's the bummer part, is it's usually 2 to 3 years in captivity.
Okay.
Yeah. So the ones that I have, like Greta, she's a year, you know, my bold that I I named Sam because I found her on my car at Sam's Club. So, and I've had her for over a year, but I rarely see her. She stays pretty much hidden most of the time. So, yeah.
So nowadays you're like walking down the street, and then you're like, oh, look, a spider. And you have like your spider catching kit on your backpack, in a backpack that you wear all the time, and a little brown hat and some boots.
Something like that. You know, it's funny, since I started this whole thing, is now everybody's texting me. They find a jumping spider, they text me, do you want it? No, I have enough right now. But it depends. If they found one that, you know, I can rescue, because a lot of times they'll find them and they're starving and I'll take them in. I have one that actually hitched a ride on a return package, you know, from Indiana. Simon opened up a box and there was a jumping spider inside the box. So I felt horrible for it because it was starving. So I have that one. And then it actually laid an egg and has babies, but it's a smaller species. They're tiny. So it's not one that I'm going to be able to make money off of. I'll just basically let them go as soon as they're ready. But yeah,
so
when
you say let them go, you're going to take them down the street and drop them off at the neighbor's house?
No, I'm going to put them in my little backyard area, and they're going to keep all the mosquitoes away.
Oh, that's how you get rid of mosquitoes.
Yeah, you know, they'll keep the insect, you know, down.
So you're telling me that the only thing I had to do to get rid of the blood-sucking demons that haunt my life is to have a spider in my backyard? I didn't have to go to court and file divorce papers?
Oh, jeez.
I didn't know spiders got mosquitoes. I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, I don't feed on mosquitoes, so I don't know. I'm just, you know, when the size of these little spiders, that's, if they could eat a fruit fly, I'm sure they'll eat a mosquito, and I'd prefer they eat the mosquitoes.
So are you like web conscious now? Are you like a web supporter where you don't mess up any spider webs and stuff?
I don't know that I'm there yet. That, and these ones don't make those kind of webs. Those big orb weaver webs that you see, I mean, those still creep me out. I do not want to walk into one. These guys make their little hammocks, as they call them, and, you know, that they sleep in. And their webs are only kind of for when they jump to anchor them so they don't, you know, fall too far. But yeah, I still have somewhat of a fear. But again, it's baby steps. You know, these guys have already, my dad is, he still can't believe that I have pet spiders. You know, he, like I said, he used to torment me. And so now he's just absolutely shocked that I have just, you know, what, 50 now, close to 50 spiders.
Do you have them all named?
I have just the three bigger ones, or no, four of them are named. Yeah.
So you can tell them apart, though. I mean, you can actually like,
absolutely,
tell your kids apart.
Yeah, absolutely. Colors, sizes, markings. They're all different. Now the babies, because I have three, there's like three levels of babies, because I don't know. They call them instars, because from the time that they're born, every time they molt, they change instar. So I've got like instar one or twos, threes, and fours. And they don't get adopted out until they're sevens. So that's why it's going to take another probably month before they start really.
So do you have to give them little prison suits with numbers on them so you remember what stage they're at?
No, you could just look at them another stage, because their markings, every time they molt, you know, they develop a different, you know, either a color or, you know, additional markings.
So like, how far can a jumping spider jump?
Oh, there's some scientific number. I mean, it's they could jump like what, three times? I don't know what the number is, but it could be big. It could be a big jump.
So do you think that's the spider that Spider-Man got bit by?
No. Definitely not. These guys don't bite either. They're friendly.
Well, how do they kill their prey?
I'm not their prey.
Not yet.
I mean, they could bite. They could if they felt like they were in danger or they mistake you for food. But no, they're very gentle.
Which
they have big fangs though.
Which Spider-Man do your spiders think is the best?
The original.
the fire. Okay, good.
Do they walk around with Spider-Man lunch boxes and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thermos, the matching thermos. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do they? Which movie did the spiders like better? Kingdom of the Spiders or Eight-Legged Freaks?
Eight-Legged Freaks.
Oh, but don't say that loudly. Spiders don't like it when you call them freaks.
True.
There's probably a spider lawyer on the phone right now.
No, for all I know, I'm going to get in trouble for California because I've got a Florida spider living in California.
Does he have a passport?
Yeah, passport, or I got to pay taxes.
They're going to break through your door and they're going to be like, papers, please. All right, spider, yeah. Let's see your papers.
Yeah.
The replacement population.
Yeah, they're replacing us with spiders. What is the other thing?
Hey, visibly, if I understand it correctly, spiders are like really strong. I mean, can you actually like see them doing like strong stuff?
Like lifting weights?
Yeah.
I mean, the prey that they take down, I've watched some, these crickets are like three times the size and they take them down. You know, I've watched some of these mealworms, whip them around and they're just like, like you see in the cartoons, like the bam, 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 that spider's taking a beating, but spider always wins.
Well, what do they do? They're these little, because on your finger, they look like they're not very big compared to your finger. And how do they take down? What do these guys, do they wrap them in a web and like?
No, they don't. They don't do that. They basically pounce. They kind of like a cat and a mouse, which is funny because they do have some of the same mannerisms as cats, because when I do put the two enclosures together and they see each other, they kind of like a cat, they raise their back up and they get ready to pounce. And I guess once they stick their fangs into the top of the cricket and put in their venom, it paralyzes the prey.
Huh. I guess I.
But
never...
it's awesome to watch. I got a couple of videos that you should probably see of those too, Mitch.
Yeah. So if is there anywhere? So you said there was a website or there was a place to go and adopt or something. What was that?
Well, on TikTok, if you just if you put in a search jumping spiders, you're gonna see just thousands of videos. And on Facebook, there's just groups. You got your jumping spider newbies, your jumping spider adoptions. There's so many breeders out there, which I'm not gonna become an official breeder. There's just too much drama. It's kind of sad that there is.
Ooh, but, there's bad blood among the jumping spider breeders.
There is. These breeders are very, yeah. It's like they're all after each other, and it's kind of sad to watch. And I don't want to be a part of that. So I'm kind of just going to sit here in my little corner and and do my thing. But you could find so much online about them. And like I said, that's how I got so involved and I became so passionate about them. I love my spiders.
Man, that is just—I never heard of this. I don't do TikTok, but I barely do Facebook or anything. But is it just so you just deal in the jumping spiders? You're not an all spider woman.
Correct.
Okay.
Jumping spiders only.
So like when someone contacts you and says they have a recluse or something like that, you're not like, oh yeah, I'll take it.
No, I'd say kill it. I hate to say, excuse me, I got allergies this morning. I hate to say it, but yeah, no, I can't do those. No, not the dangerous ones.
So just the little ones with the big eyes.
The cute ones.
Yeah. If that's your definition of cute, then I guess that's a good thing.
Well, if you, all my friends who felt the same as I did, you know, have now changed their thoughts on chipping spiders and have actually considered, you know, having them. So, you know, it says a lot.
But where do you like put them though? I mean, do you have them in like in a dark hole somewhere or? In a sunny window, or I mean, like,
no,
where do they live? Like,
they so their enclosures, each of them have their own little LED light because they love the light. I have a little heating lamp that just, you know, keeps it kind of warm in the area because they are from Florida. I got to keep the humidity kind of high because they do like it a little humid. I mean, it's a lot of work. I have little temperature gauges in each of them to measure the humidity, and yeah, it's.
Do you have to do that like every day, every week? How mm-hmm. I mean, like, how much care do these things, little suckers take?
So they have to be misted every day. The they need the water, but the food. Sorry, the food. As they get older, they don't eat as often. So, you know, a mealworm or a large cricket, probably once every 3 weeks to a month. You just have to watch the size of their abdomen as it shrinks down, and once it starts shrinking down smaller than their head, then they're hungry and it's time to feed them, because you definitely don't want to overfeed them because they can actually burst or separate. Their abdomen will separate and it could kill them, and it shortens their lifespan. So you really have to monitor the size before.
So do they like in the movies and stuff like that, they'll like in Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, when they get caught by the spider, they like suspend them in a web.
No.
And they're hanging there. Do they do that?
No.
There's no hobbits in the webs there?
No. No. They don't do like a daddy long leg or a black widow where they spin their prey in the web. No, they hang on to them until they suck them dry and then they drop them.
That sounds like one of my exes.
Well, so do they just drink their blood?
Yeah, the blood and all the insides.
Oh boy.
Kind of whatever the venom that they inject in them, I think liquefies the insides, and then they suck them dry.
So they just turn them into a milkshake and then they just get to.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they just drop what's left of it, which is like the outer shell.
So, I mean, do they like store them? Like they're like, oh, I'll come back, you know, in an hour when I'm hungry again and eat some more. Or do they do it in one sitting?
Usually one sitting. I mean, they have come back, but mine, they'll just do it in one sitting. Then they drop it and I take it out.
So they've got their own personal maid too.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah, but they're spoiled.
So, like, do they poop and stuff? I mean, how do you clean up the spider poop? Do they have like spider litter?
Yeah. They're little droplets that they leave behind. So you just take a little Q-tip of some water and clean it up. It's
you can see it.
Oh yeah, there's an actual video on my Facebook of Greta pooping on me. It looks like a little. Drop of milk.
Were they affected by the toilet paper shortage?
I'm sure they were.
So how do you order that on Amazon? How would you order spider paper teepee?
Yeah, I don't know that answer.
So you don't have to order that.
They actually are starting to make diapers.
Little spider diapers.
So, I mean, so it's their poop and all that is actually visible. Does it like smell and stuff?
No. Uh-uh. Not at all.
So you can't turn that into fertilizer and sell that?
It would be nice. I mean, yeah, I'd probably make a lot more money. But no, it's it's very small, tiny, easy cleanup.
You could sell it as organic.
I could.
Right? As an organic product.
I could. I think I'd need a few thousand more spiders to get to that level, but
yeah, and then you could farm them for their poop, and then, you know, they would become, you know, you'd have maybe 100,000 of those, and then they would have a leader that would rise up and revolt because you're stealing their poop.
The spider pooers.
Yeah, there you go.
You're not really in the business of selling it, but if people go onto TikTok, can they find you, or where could somebody find any of your stuff, or do you want to, you know, put that out there? You don't have to. I'm just asking.
Well, I mean, I have a TikTok that I've kind of been just documenting since, you know, I started this whole journey with my spiders. So, I mean, if anybody, you know, reached out to me on TikTok and said, hey, where, you know, how can I get one? You know, of course I would try to, you know, go that route and help them out. You know, like I said, I prefer not to ship yet. I mean, even though I'm preparing myself to, but my Facebook, there's Jumping Spider Adoptions. And so people post on there when they're looking for one. And that's kind of where I can find
so potential. It's actually called Jumping Spider Adoptions. If I type that in on Facebook, I'll find it.
Yeah, you will. And then I think I'm going to put it on Craigslist, because I plan to keep a couple of the babies, but it just depends on how many I'm left with, because I lose one or two a day of the babies.
Do you count them? Do they have to like check in every day with you?
I have to actually open. They're in little deli cups. And so I actually have to open, clean out their cup and, give them some water and give them some more mealworms. But, you know, when I go through, it's, when you think about 40 spiders, I got 40 little cups that I have to go through. So it's time consuming. It takes a good hour of feeding my babies.
So it's like one spider per cup, you mean?
Yeah. Some of them are one spider. A couple of them are, paired up, maybe three, depending on their size. So as they get bigger, then they will become cannibalistic. But when they're younger, they kind of help each other. You know, they learn from each other.
So instead of Lord of the Flies, it should be Lord of the Spiders?
Yeah, the Jumping Spiders. I think we have to clarify that.
Okay, sorry. I didn't realize that territory. We want to be politically correct.
Yeah.
Lawsuit from a spider lawyer after the other spider stuff come after us.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's, I mean, Craigslist, when I put that out there, I mean, I found out that there's other people that do sell on Craigslist. I haven't, you know, gone too far into it, but I think that's going to be probably the only place that I'll really be able to advertise.
Wow. So is it you're not gonna really, are you looking to on like build a whole house for your spiders, or are you just, I mean, are they like, yeah, in a windowsill somewhere, or are they like
they're on a cabinet, they're on a wall cabinet that I have using for a base, and I just have a whole setup. It's kind of like my little spider area, but I do want to get more of a, I don't know, a display, kind of like a media center maybe, and display them all there.
Yeah, and then you can put a make it a true like Truman Show where they got a live camera on them 24/7, and then you can walk around with a little circle mirror that has nothing in it, and you can say, I see Billy and I see Bobby.
A little romper room right here.
Yeah. Oh, that was the name of it. I can't ever remember the name of the show.
In romper room. See, I just told you my age. I do have a little, you know, thing set up so that I can, those ring lights that hold the phone for video, so I could TikTok or just, you know, do like you said, put a camera on them and people could watch.
Do you like when you guys go out to dinner or something like that? Do you put the camera on them and then you just sit there and stare at it the whole time you're at dinner?
Always.
So what would you recommend if somebody wants to get into the spider farming business, what would you recommend they do?
Research. Well, that's the thing. You see so many times where somebody's, you know, caught a spider or they want to buy one, but they want to shove them in some Tupperware, you know, container, and they can't live in a Tupperware. They have to have certain ventilation, certain humidity, certain, you know, heat. So yeah, you got to do your research.
So is there actually like how to raise a spider? Is that what I type in?
Yeah. I mean, there's actually a lot of YouTube videos on it as well. Yeah. You know, that's how I learned. I mean, I had to do all my research, and now I'm not going to say I'm a pro. I'm definitely not a pro because I can't even pronounce half of the names that they, but yeah, it's all out there. And once you learn, it becomes easy. Now, like the girl that I adopted to, she asks a lot of questions, and I feel very happy to help because, you know, it makes me feel good. I get to like watch one of my, like you said, grandbabies, my grand web puppies, you know, is thriving with her new mommy. And you know, talking about it, it just seems a little weird.
Well, oh, it's weird.
I assure you it's not, though. It has become the norm. I mean, seriously, when a girl comes all the way to my house, you know, to pick out a spider, you know, and who's so excited, you know, that says a lot.
One of the things I wanted to bring up about you to Mike, because I think he would find this very bizarre. So when I first met Shania and Simon and we would go out to, when I would have to go up to the area they live in for work, we would go out to dinner. And Shania eats the most bizarre food I have ever seen in my life. I'm not even sure if some of it's even like dead. Let alone she'll. So you have a fascination with that too, right? Like you're into exotic food.
Exotic foods, yeah. I travel to eat. So going to, you know, Thailand, you know, all the places that you could get the craziest foods I want to experience.
So what is like, well, I consider everything you eat crazy, but give us some examples of, because we're all, well, Mike and I are like born and bred American kids who grew up in the Southland, and you know, we don't know anything but street tacos and green burritos.
So in Thailand, I did have a plate full of silkworm larvae. They stir fry them up. So they're just, they look like little, I don't know, almonds, I guess. They, you know, kind of shaped like, and they had, you know, they were flavored. I mean, they had a little nutty taste, you know, so it was just like eating almonds, I guess. But we went to a restaurant and I was in the hunt for, you know, something out there that I was wanting just to say I tried. And so yeah,
I mean like a plateful. Like do you eat the whole plate,
or
do you
ate the
like
whole plate
bite and go?
There's actually a video. The friends that I was with took a video that is also on my Facebook of me eating the silkworms.
So what when we went out to dinner, you had, was it baby squid still like squidded, like just fresh out of the tank or something?
I don't know that we had, if you're talking about the sushi restaurant, I know we had shrimp heads.
Well, they, they're because remember you guys waited to put them on. It was that place where we have to cook our own food, which to me, I just
those were little baby octopus. They were marinated. We cooked them on the little stove.
And their heads would explode if you did it wrong or something.
Well, you squeeze them, they pop because you know.
So what do those taste like? Because I am never in my life going to eat one of those.
So you've never tried calamari?
No.
Because that's what it tastes like. I mean, it's little chewy, rubbery, but you know, but tender and has a little bit of a seafood flavor to it. So if you tried calamari, that's probably, you know, as close as what it's going to taste like.
Have you had calamari, Mike?
No.
Gosh.
I don't really like seafood. The only time I ever ate sushi was I was married to a Japanese woman, but I was also drunk all the time, so I could eat sushi. Really, that was the secret of all my sushi eating was beer.
So you went to Thailand and you ate worms.
Yes.
Have you gone anywhere else and eaten anything?
Not crazy like that. I mean, you know, I eat sea urchin, but that's what you get in, you know, a sushi restaurant, you know. I bought the sea urchin itself and like cut open the sea urchin and dug out the insides and eat them.
Wait, what?
And a sea urchin, you know, they have it's you eat what they call it. I guess it's the gonads. It's a creamy, yellowy.
What's a sea urchin exactly? I mean,
those are little spiky balls in the ocean.
Oh, the little like the ones that are on a rock and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yes, that's a delicacy.
They call it uni.
Uni, very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd call it ooey too.
No, uni. It's my favorite.
It's one of those spike guys on the rocks. Mentioned they scoop out its innards and they call it uni. That was my ex-wife's favorite sushi was uni.
Now, who figured that out?
Right? I thought about that too. Like, who figured that out? Like, who was like, I know, I'll break this spiky thing open and eat its guts.
I mean, people eat the sand fleas. I mean, it's, I think countries will try anything, you know, to eat. And it gets out there. And I think TikTok, and I don't like to advertise TikTok because I know it's like in the process of being banned, but I've learned so much of, you know, about food and things that I really want to try and travel even more because now I know where to find it. It's kind of just opened me up to.
So how many spiders are you going to have to sell to go eat uni?
Well, I could eat uni like without selling the spiders, but Simon and I are planning a trip to Japan eventually. And cause that's one place I want to go. And there's a thing called fugu, which is the blowfish. That's, you know, highly poisonous.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that question. Have you done that yet?
No, I haven't.
Because that was in a James Bond movie, I think, where if they didn't prepare it right, it would kill you.
Yeah.
There was something in the news fairly recently over the last couple of months where some master chef guy, they didn't prepare it right, and he ate some blowfish and croaked.
Yeah, they have to carry some like $1 million insurance policy to, you know, to prepare it.
Is it so delicious that it's worth risking that?
Well, from what I understand, it when you eat it, you actually get like this euphoric, you know, like tingly sensation is what people actually are wanting to experience. And I don't know as far as taste. I think it's a lot of raw fish all taste kind of the same. Yeah. So I think it's on my bucket list just to experience and say that I have.
Make sure that's the last thing on your bucket list when you try.
I know. There's a couple places that are very reputable that I will probably stick to over there.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So, yeah, that was a very bizarre meeting when I had gone out to eat with them, and they were like, well, they ordered it, and they're like, we usually order this at the end so we don't gross everybody out. And then they started bringing these baby squids, and their heads are exploding. So I want to thank you guys for that traumatic experience.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anytime.
I now will never eat seafood, let alone baby squid.
Well, and aren't you right next to the water too? You're like in the prime place to have the freshest of the seafood.
Sure. I'm sure it's right there. I could probably take my fishing pole out at lunch and go catch myself.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's rather nice as far as that goes. So, but I'm not a seafood person.
Yeah, me neither.
You guys are missing out.
Well, you can take your seafood and your spiders. And do spiders eat seafood?
I never offered.
Throw them a little sardine.
Yeah.
As long as it's got to be moving though. So it's going to be hard to get something live like that, but
wow.
It's worth a shot, I guess.
Your daughter's goldfish disappears. I don't know where Buffy went, honey. Really orange today. There you go, folks. If you need to start a new hobby and you're inclined to raise a spider, then there's a whole new world that's been opened up to you. All right, Shania. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. And, you know, just thank you for sharing your very apparently not as rare as we thought hobby.
Correct. But, it's not rare anymore.
No, but apparently now it's not, because it's going to go global with us.
No. I hope not. But next time,
press conference, there'll be all these spiders behind him.
No, I mean, if you guys did have the webcam up, it would have been a little easier to show you so you could better understand. But yeah, no, I appreciate you having me, and I'm glad that you didn't roast me, because I felt like that was kind of what I was coming for.
No, we aren't that. Come on,
you know, a person like, you know, female with a spider hobby just kind of sounds a little out there.
Well, yeah, but
yeah, exactly.
That's for everyone to figure out themselves.
But you know, it seems like it's more popular with the females, this whole jumping spider, than it is with the males. So it's
I can fully understand why that's happening. So. there's a reason a female black widow eats the male, right? I think secretly you all just you know, plan to take over the world and eat all the men with spiders.
Yeah, that's the plan. Caught on.
Spiders, the giant spider invasion.
Mm-hmm.
That was that'll give them some ideas.
And then it'll all be controlled by a woman, and then the women be in charge
with their spider armies.
With their spider armies.
There you go.
Was that your plan in getting into spider farming? Was
of course.
Okay.
Well, all right, Shania, thank you very much for being on the show. Good talking to you.
And good talking to you guys. Thank you for having me.
Sunday with your spiders.
Yeah, you guys enjoy your Sunday.
Two Men with a Mic is recorded at Clothes on a Hanger Studios.
You can reach him at the number 2menwithamic.com.